The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women with your host, Deanne DeMarco. On today's program, you'll meet the next business and entrepreneurial rising star. You'll learn from their successes, challenges, and life lessons to find out what has made them recognized in their fields. Now, here is your host, Deanne DeMarco.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco. And if you are ready to take the next steps to be empowered and motivated and better equipped for success, then stay tuned. We have got a dynamite show for you today. We have got a brand specialist on the line. And she's going to teach us about how to build our brands and how to profit from those. And then we're going to be talking about the magic of success. And we have one of the most premier female magicians in the United States that's going to be talking to us in the second half of the show. A couple of housekeeping tips. First of all, if you're looking for, been getting a lot of emails regarding the quotes and actions that I give at the end of the show each week, if you just go on the main website, you can click on a link for free quotes and actions. You can get those delivered right to your inbox whenever you'd like those. So that's really easy to get. Also, the Inspiring Women's Conference is coming up November 7th if you're in the Chicagoland area. Look us up. We have got some dynamite talent for you for that show. Well, I am anxious to get started. We have got America's premier brand strategist and storyteller, Robin Fisher-Ruffer, and she provides the rock of fuel that ignites and launches the paths of brands all over the world. As founder and CEO of Big Fish Marketing, Rofer has launched, reinvented, and crafted the stories for powerhouse companies like A&E, AMC, AON, Animal Planet, CB Richard Ellis Investors, CNN, Comedy Central, Discovery, Disney Channel, The Food Network, Fox, FX, History, Lifetime, MTV, Sony Pictures, and TNT, and the list just goes on. I mean, this lady is just one powerful woman. You know, Robin has written several different books on branding, drawing on her experiences in the leading entertainment brands. Robin has become the pioneer of personal branding. Robin's third book, No Fear Career, 12 Steps Becoming a Courageous Leader in the Faces of Uncertainty, teaches readers how to navigate their career fearlessly, push through adversity, and let go of what no longer works by letting intuition and personal vision be their guide. Robin's true and tried system for clarifying your true purpose and setting goals will transform your career and your life. And this is actually a fantastic book. I had the honor of being able to read this, and I am very anxious to talk to you. Welcome to today's Inspiring Women, Robin.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and thank you for that wonderful, enthusiastic introduction.
You know, I've read two of your books now,
already.
And people have to go read this book. You have to, you know, listeners, you have to Google this person's name, Robin Fisher-Ruffer, R-O-F-F-E-R, and look up her books. They are just phenomenal. And I don't endorse a whole lot of books, but I really endorse
these.
Thank you. They're just great. You know, so tell us, Robin, a little bit about your path. I mean, how did you get to being this brand specialist?
Well, I started my career in branding at 11 years old.
Really?
Yes. Well, my father raised my sister and me by himself, and we were latchkey kids by the time I was 11. My sister was 10, and we'd come home to an empty house after school and do our homework and cook dinner, and Dad would come home after we cleaned up and did the dishes, he would lay out ads at the kitchen table that he was working on for clients. And he would say, what do you think the headline should be? What do you think the right image should be? And he would talk to us about the power of a great brand, the name of the company, and what it stood for, and how to differentiate it from other companies or services that had the same type of offering. And he really inspired us. And we would sometimes get picked up after school and have to go with him to a meeting, and we watch him pitch and close deals. So we really learned at his knee, and my sister Wendy and I today are partners in business at Big Fish, and, you know, our dad couldn't be prouder of us. And really, he taught us three things in through all of those experiences, and one is to be wildly enthusiastic when you're selling. The second thing he taught us was always to over-deliver. And the third thing is to never let being a female stand in the way of your success and who you want to be in life. We really had a great training with us, and he, you know, I just wanted to be like my dad. I wanted to grow up and be like him, so I became a brand strategist.
Wow. To be enthusiastic, what was the second one?
The second one is really to always over-deliver.
Uh-huh.
And I'm constantly doing that with my clients. You know, I'll write a contract, and I will say, I'm going to deliver X, Y, and Z. And then I always throw in something extra, you know, another round of copy or a one sheet they never imagined I'd send, or a special recap, or, you know, that they weren't imagining that was needed. And then when they got it, they went, wow, that's really great. You know, just something that's beyond what's on the contract. And, you know, and over-delivering is so powerful now because people want to work with partners that they can count on, that are a sure bet, that show up and go that one step further. That's who they're going to become loyal to. And, you know, we're really in a relationship economy now where relationships are our currency, and there's even a new expression, ROR. You know, it's ROI is return on investment, and ROR is the return on the relationship. And we have to be thinking in both types of currency now, dollars and cents, and beyond that, the currency of the relationship, and over time, you know, what you're building with somebody.
Well, I think that's really true. You know, there's been a lot of talk about personal brands, and that we all need to have a personal brand. Why is that important for women to have a personal brand?
Well, it's funny. You know, I wrote the first book on personal branding about 10 years ago. It's called Make a Name for Yourself, and it's still a big seller, and it's in seven languages. But I remember when it came out, this was such a foreign idea. And actually, my business coach helped me to come up with this thought that, you know, if I could build great brands, which at the time I was working for Turner Broadcasting, and I was, you know, helping them launch TNT and make CNN the world's news leader and TBS to become the force that it is today. And how could I apply the methodology that I used to help build those brands and apply them to people? And so I started to write the book, and I realized that women were the ones that really needed to hear about personal branding, because they have the most trouble tooting their own horn. I think we're all raised as good girls, and we want to oblige, and we have been told by our mothers or our fathers or our teachers that there's sort of a ban on boasting, and particularly in the Midwest, where I grew up in Ohio, you really, you know, weren't supposed to ever say anything complimentary about yourself. So, you know, over time, we just kept quiet. And a lot of women in a meeting, you know, instead of when their boss will say, well, you know, how did this project go? And instead of saying, well, I took the lead and it did this, we'll say, well, the team and I, or just the team, really did well. I have to give kudos to X, Y, and Z. And so the boss never really knows what part you played and what you did. And they don't even know where to place you next. Or then you want a promotion, and, you know, quietly you go home at night and over a glass of wine tell your husband how much you deserve it and you want it, and but you're not asking for it, right? So the book is really a way to tell your greatest story. And all of my books have different facets of that. My second book, The Fearless Fish Out of Water, is really how to turn what's different about you into your advantage. Mm-hmm. And the latest book is about how to live fearlessly and how to have a career that's fearless. But all three of them touch on this area of personal branding. And women really need it the most because we're always giving away our power. We mm-hmm. often apologize for ourselves. I mean, we say, mm-hmm. I'm sorry for everything. Count how many times a day you say, I'm sorry. It'll astonish you if you actually get one of those, like, counters. I mean, I've bumped into a table and told it I'm sorry. You know, it's just, no, seriously, you know, it's just ingrained, right? And I don't know if we're saying I'm sorry for every man who doesn't. I'm not really sure, but we're sure saying it a lot. So it's hard for our bosses and our partners to see that we're worth more when we won't even tell our own story about our value.
I definitely believe that's very, very true. And the research is showing that to be exactly what you're saying, that even women that play sports, girls that play sports, you know, you have a guy who plays, this plays soccer, you know, and gets a winning goal. And the guy goes, yeah, I did it really good. And he asks the girl who gets the winning goal, and she goes, yeah, it was a team effort.
And that's, look,
you know, they just, women just don't toot their own horns.
It was a team effort, but first, say, yeah, that was so cool. I finally made a goal, but I couldn't have done it without my team. You see what I mean? There's a difference there. We don't want to forget that we have a team, but we just need to own our victories first.
I absolutely agree. So how do women go about building a brand?
Well, there's really an 8-step methodology that I've honed. And I think just a couple of those steps that I think are really important is to unmask ourselves and to really show up authentically. Great brands are authentic, they're clear, and they're consistent. And I call that the holy trinity of branding, right? They clearly articulate in a very crisp manner what their value is. They are consistently telling that message over and over and over again until it's boring to themselves. But by the time you're getting bored with telling your story, the other people are just really catching on that need to. And then the third thing is being incredibly authentic about that story. We're in an age of transparency. So if you're telling a story that doesn't ring true, then you are going to be found out. So we need to unmask ourselves because we go to work and we put on our game face. We're the maven, we're the caretaker, we're the tough cookie, we're the ball buster, mm-hmm. we're the joker, we're the party planner, with a PowerPoint girl, you know, like we wear these masks, we hide behind to survive, to protect ourselves, because we're in fear that if somebody saw exactly who we are, then we wouldn't be loved, liked, valued, cared for. And really, it's in taking off the mask. First, you got to recognize it, and then mm-hmm. taking it off and revealing who you are, then you emerge like a butterfly, right? To come out of that to take off that mask is the most empowering thing you can do. It can be very uncomfortable at first. Mine was dancing bear, right? I was a people pleaser. I had to tell everybody yes, yes, yes to everything. And that worked for a while. But then when I got into my 40s and I had really built an amazing business and people were looking to me for advice, it did not work any longer to say, what do you think? What do you think? And all that approval seeking didn't serve me or my clients. I needed to finally take a stand and say, here's the course of action you need to take. Mm-hmm. You can do these other things, but here's this. And so taking off the mask and stepping into authority was really powerful for me.
You know, one of the things that I really talked about in your book was declaring your specialty. And I just love that chapter because you talk about how we each have our own uniqueness and you just need to bring it to the table.
Yeah, and you know,
and you need to own it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I want to give everyone a permission slip to reach their highest potential, to be themselves without selling out. And you know, as much as we talk about how different is good in American society, we also are encouraged to fall in line and to have a sheep cattle mentality. And it's just easier that way, isn't it? Some days, you know, not to ruffle any feathers, not to mm-hmm. stir the pot. But on the other hand, is that the way to really be distinctive? The greatest leaders in the world, they live their lives with conviction. And we know what their specialty is. We know what their expertise is. We know that they're the go-to person for X because they have a point of view on that subject. And they know that it's not the best to be a Jill of all trades. being a generalist is really old news, and being a specialist is where it's at. And specialists, if you look at every kind of business, they're paid more. So, you know, a general practitioner doctor is not paid as much as a brain surgeon. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
So you know, a general family attorney is not paid as much as an expert on sexual harassment.
Right.
So you just, it's just declaring that expertise and making sure that it's in line with your passion. And then the dollars and cents come rolling in because you're really living your life, like I said, with conviction, and people know it and they want to be around that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I just loved actually I love reading both of your books. I mean, I read Make a Name for Yourself, and then I read the No Fear Career book, and both of them I wish you could see these books because I have yellow post-it notes throughout them. And then I make these
Thank
little
you.
Notes on the outside of my post-it note with all these things that I want to remember. I mean, they're really fantastic books. We need to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more to Robin Fisher-Rofer about branding. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to deanne@deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E @deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women, and we have got a brand, the premier brand strategist, Robin Fisher-Rofer, on the line. And Robin, I'd like to get into, you know, business, the business environment today is very different than it was 20 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago. What are some of the skills that women must have in order to stay competitive in today's global marketplace?
Well, there's several. The first one is agile thinking. So agile thinking is not getting stuck in old patterns and surfing the waves of change and not getting sucked down really by the undertow of competition. And, you know, the markets are changing now at breakneck speed, and there's just absolutely no way that you can be stuck in an old pattern and win. So you have to really be able to move with the markets and lean into the changes and almost thrive on the mystery and the uncertainty that's unfolding before us and not fight the current. And the second thing is global organization skills. So if you don't have, by the way, these things, you can go to school, take a workshop, a night class, go online. There's tons of courses online on these things. But global organization skills are important. We're in a global economy. Almost every company, I mean, just I'm selling internationally, just my products and my services. So everything now is that way, and knowing different cultures and how to market your product to those different markets is really important. Another thing, of course, is digital skills. You can just sit on the phone and listen to webinars or read all you can on this changing digital marketplace, and understanding how you fit, how you can fit into it, and understanding how it works, and getting a Twitter account, going ahead and doing Pinterest or Instagram, and having a Facebook page, and really playing with the digital world and playing in the digital world is key. And then the fourth most important skill that we have to have today, and by the way, these skills are what I've researched and what I've identified as what human resource managers want most. And the fourth one is to be collaborative, to understand how to be in a brainstorming situation or lead a brainstorming meeting, and how to contribute and collaborate. And we need to break down the silos inside of organizations now. It's not about competition. It's about collaboration. And so being somebody that is an advocate of that and even can be a force in that cultural change is very admired right now. So those are four things we can all do immediately to really win at business.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, in my management skill classes 6 years ago, I would ask a question. I always ask whenever I have to teach a public seminar on management skills, I always ask the group, I said, how many of you work with a global workforce, have to manage people in a different country? And 6-7 years ago, maybe I'd have one hand raised out of a group of about 30 to 50 people. Today, I will sometimes have a minimum of half, and sometimes almost everyone raise their hand that they are doing work globally now. So I think the whole global organizational skills is absolutely a critical piece that can't be overlooked.
Right. Right.
I think you're right on the money.
It really is.
You know,
one
of the things that you write about, and I just love, is that that a woman really needs to make her own luck. You know, so what steps should a woman take to kind of plot a course for career success?
I think the number one thing is to have a mission statement. I mean, it's so funny. I'll go to the biggest corporations in the world, like Walmart, and I'll have 500 women in front of me, and I'll say, how many of you have a mission statement? And I'll get like two hands. Mm-hmm. Now, Walmart has an incredible mission, saving people money so they can live better lives. That's their mission statement. Mm-hmm. Very few people who work at Walmart have their own personal mission statement. So, and I can go to every corporation, you know, from Tom's to Coke to you name it, the biggest insurance companies in the world, I'll ask this question, very few people, maybe one or two in the whole audience. So having a mission statement is a really cool thing to have, because in 7 words or less, you articulate to yourself and the world why you're here. Why do I do what I do? Why am I here? What is my purpose in this lifetime? Mine is to inspire professionals to fearlessly achieve their potential. See, I can say that 7 words or less. I have it in my head. So when somebody says, why do you do what you do? I'm here to inspire professionals to fearlessly achieve their potential. And the way you get your mission statement is closing your eyes and asking yourself, why am I here? What is my purpose in this lifetime? And then crafting that 7-word or less mission statement, and making sure that it not only serves you but others. And then you get up every morning, you know why you're here. So that's a beautiful way to make your own luck, because you're aligning everything you do with that mission. And then you can make careful choices to plot that course for career success by having the mission. That's my number one thing.
I was just thinking about that, wondering how many of my words, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, mine's 8 words. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. To give others the communications tools they need to be successful. I guess that's
so that's great. So does that get you out of bed in the morning and get you excited?
Yeah.
Okay. So then
it's more than it's more than 7 words.
Okay. I mean, if you can remember it without having to read it, that's the point. Right?
Yeah.
So that's the reason why you want to keep it short.
Yeah. Cool. You know, I never gave that a thought, that you need to have a personal mission statement. I just kind of crafted that for myself, just because, you know, people kept asking me, why are you doing this? You know, like, why do you have this radio show?
Right.
You know, and I had to stop and think about, okay,
about,
so why do I have this radio show?
And
I, you know, sponsor these conferences. Why do you do that? Well, I go, Well, so that's what I put it together, and it really made everything seem clearer when I knew exactly my purpose for doing.
Well, yeah, and then the vision statement is another way to plot your course to career destiny. So the vision statement, which is different from a mission. So a mission is, why do you do what you do? Which people care more about that than what you do. So why do you do what you do? And then the vision, V-I-S-I-O-N, vision statement, is to articulate where you want to go. So what's your vision for your career? And then you, of course, plot the steps to get there. So mine is to be the most sought after the most sought after authority on fearless branding and storytelling. So, all right. So being sought after, what does that mean? Right. And then you could be the number one, but I like to be sought after because that means that my career will be with ease. People will be seeking me instead of me always having to go after them. So since I've created this vision and this mission, my life has been so blessed. My career has been so blessed. I just celebrated the 22nd anniversary of my company and wrote the third book and published it. And, you know, and I have a wonderful child and just a gorgeous life. And it really is from envisioning where you want to go and then saying, why do I want to get there? Why am I here? What am I doing? That's how to create your own luck.
You know, so you've actually had a, based upon what I've read in your books, you've actually had a career shift with your company. I mean, here you were, the person that launched big TV campaigns like Lost, Desperate Housewives, Top Model, Project Runway, and you did major events like the Olympics and the Academy Awards, and yet you took a shift with Big Focus, with Big Fish. So what is your focus now, and what made you make that shift?
Well, it was really when I wrote that mission statement, you know, and I sat down and I meditated on it, and I wrote the mission statement, and I realized that I was on somebody else's mission, not mine, by creating those campaigns. I was making millions of dollars. It was incredible. I mean, it was just, what a life. Never had to worry about money, never had to think about it. But every single day, I was missing time with my daughter. I was constantly on deadline. I had headaches like an axe was going through my head. I was under so much pressure because I was not only working with the biggest television networks and studios in the world trying to come up with their ad campaigns, but I was writing all the copy. I was pitching the concepts. I was making sure that all of the specs were met and that we hit the deadlines. Can you imagine? And we were buying the media. And I had all these people working for me, sometimes 100 people, a lot of them on contract, most of them on contract, working for me all over the country, bringing me pieces of these different campaigns. And it was so difficult to manage. And all I was doing was getting people to watch more TV. Huh. Now, I love television. I think it's an incredible escape and also a great learning tool. But I have to tell you that that was not my mission. My mission was to inspire professionals to fearlessly achieve their potential. I had lost my North Star. So
you weren't being authentic to yourself.
Yeah, I had to be true to myself. So I closed the media buying operation and the digital design aspect of the business. I focused on the branding and culture change and focused on the books and the speaking career and the workshops. And now we train, my sister and I, we go and we train people all across the country on how to tell their greatest story, how to find their own mission. And then we also articulate for companies like Food Network and Fox what their story is as an organization so that they can tell their advertisers and their affiliates. And then we train all the salespeople on how to give that story and teach them how to have their own personal brand. And I got to tell you, every day I wake up and I'm so happy. I love, love my work.
I mean, that's just really, you know, these books are just phenomenal. How do people get hold of these books?
Thank you so much. If you go to Amazon and you put in Robin Fisher Roffer, you can find all my books. And there's an author page that'll show up if you put in my name. And you can buy them all. And they have deals on, you know, buying two or more. And it's really, and the tools are all there. And what I love about how I put together the books and what's so helpful to people is that there's exercises in them. Lots of probing questions, lots of things to, you could put a journal next to you and just start writing and writing and writing answers to these questions. And from it, you will craft your own brand, your own no-fear career strategy. You'll differentiate yourself and distinguish yourself from your competition and learn how to really succeed authentically.
Yeah, I like I mentioned, I just cannot say enough about both of these books. I've just I stumbled on the one quite by accident, and then I got the No Fear one. I can't recommend them enough. I think both of them are phenomenal. So
thank
people
you.
Want to hire you to speak at their association or business meeting, what's the best way for them to get hold of you?
Just email me, Robin, R-O-B-I-N, at bigfishmarketing.com. And I will answer your email, and Farron, who works for me, my assistant, will get with you and we'll put it on the calendar. I love speaking to groups. That is just one of my greatest joys. I just was on stage in front of 14,000 sales associates at the Columbus Nationwide Arena. It was just an amazing, amazing moment in my life, and I'm going to write a blog, publish it this week, on what it felt like to reach the top and how the darkness sometimes seeps in your greatest moment to try to sabotage you and how to deal with that. So that's some of the things. If you go to the top of my homepage, bigfishmarketing.com, and you click on sign up, then you'll always receive my blogs, and I have a wonderful webinar on how to build your personal brand right there for free. All of it's for free.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to definitely endorse those. I haven't gone to your webinar yet, but man, I'm going to, because your books are phenomenal.
Thank you.
Well, Robin, I can't believe our time has just flown by here. I could talk to you for another half hour. You know,
I had a great time talking to you.
And I'd like to thank you very much for being on today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, and I appreciate you reaching out to me and connecting with you.
Well, our time is up. I need to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the magic of success and what it takes to unveil the success in your life. Stay tuned. This is Deanne DeMarco with today's Inspiring Women. We'll be right back.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest-growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest-growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women, and we have got a magical guest for you today. I am talking about Misty Lee, and let me tell you about Misty. Misty is a magician, professional voice actress, and writer. Misty Lee is renowned for her saucy brand of sorcery and sophisticated stage illusion. She was raised in Detroit, and Misty credits her school of hard knocks upbringing as inspiring her macabre sense of humor and interest in the so-called dark arts. I didn't realize magic was considered the dark arts. She began performing magic when she was just 16, but was quickly disillusioned by the ever-shrinking costumes given to her by the local talent dispatch. I could believe that one. She wanted magic to be more than just sparkles and skin and pointing at things. She tried to swear off magic, but her musical theater and improv background proved a fertile ground for her magic. She explains her unusual choice of the magician rather than the assistant role with practical simplicity. I started as the girl inside the box and decided that job stunk, so I took his. I love that. And Missy has become a legend in the magician world. And she is the first ever female staff to perform at the famed Houdini Room at Hollywood's Magic Castle, which I understand is a really big exclusive place. And she's the only magician ever admitted into the Institute of Analytic Interviewing. Missy underwent training alongside the CIA and Scotland Yard agents with truth wizard J.J. Newberry. Her mastery of cognitive interview techniques and skill for reading both micro impressions and body language has enhanced her ability to deceive on stage and inspired her nickname of Human Lie Detector. Misty, welcome to today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Deanne. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you on the show. You know, magic is such an unlikely choice for a woman and for a woman's career. How did you choose magic as a career at the age of 15? How did that happen?
You know, magic actually kind of chose me. I was sitting in a class, and I had always been very kindred spirited with theater. And someone sitting next to me in class was performing as a clown on the weekends and said, "You'd make a great Minnie Mouse," which is an odd thing to say to somebody. And that conversation sparked the beginning of a career as a birthday party magician, which then, when the booker found out that I could sing, became Little Mermaid appearances. And then, as you said earlier in your introduction, and thank you very much for that, the costume got smaller and smaller. And I was addressing him one day, and I said, "You know, this costume is disappearing." And he said, "It is selling shows." And I said, "I quit." And I left magic for a little while, and I was thinking, this isn't for me. The guys are kind of dorky, and it's a little weird, you know. And I started listening to music and seeing things happen on stage. And with a musical theater background, I started writing routines that I thought would be cool, like for the Beetlejuice theme, for example. And then all of a sudden, I realized I was creating magic in my head, and I thought, "Girl, you got bit. You're a magician." And so I thought, well, if this is who you are, you better go forward. And so became a career.
I'll be darned. So what have been some of the challenges that you've had to face, and how did you overcome some of those challenges?
As far as being a magician is concerned?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I had to stay true to myself and not wear a shrinking costume, even though it was selling shows for the booker. So even at the age of 16, I knew who I was and who I was not, which is something that a lot of performers don't understand and are unable to fall into. As far as being a specific female in magic, there are so few of us. I've always seen it as an advantage. I just wrote a really long blog in a response to a Seattle Times article that a young lady had written that basically stated magicians were pigs. And I responded to her and said, I disagree, because I have always, from the time that I started in magic, been treated with respect and have been treated as one of the boys, which is something I was after. I was never out there to be different. I was out there to compete with the guys, because the fellas were the most successful. And so I never really saw it as a gender thing. It was just something I was doing. And so as far as barricades and boundaries, you know, people say, "Wow, how have you overcome those over the years?" I thought, do they exist? Because I was so busy doing what I was doing and focused on this one thing with extreme focus that I didn't really realize there were obstacles until they were in the rearview mirror.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, because there really are very few magicians. I mean, you know, like right now, America's Got Talent has got two magicians that have made it into the finals, and there's these shows with Penn and Teller right now on magic, and then Houdini just had the series as well. And you just don't see women doing magic. I mean, they're always the assistant. They're always the one getting in the box and being sawed in half.
Well, they're so pretty, you see. Yeah. So they're lovely, you know, eye candy.
You know, you just don't see the woman doing the magic.
You know, I actually have a theory. I'm sorry for interrupting you. Were you going to say
No,
something?
Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is
that
we females have a different style of communication than males. And I feel like males communicate in a very direct, this is what you need to know, now let's execute this task, kind of linear fashion. Whereas females, and I'm speaking way, way, way deep down, I don't mean to make broad generalizations, and of course nothing applies to everyone, but females generally tend to communicate to establish community. And to see, if you're looking at caveman terms, women would guard the vulnerable and the valuables while men were out executing tasks and bringing things back. And I know things have changed, and we're here to break that landscape, but that's how it used to be. So if you were to walk into a community of women and children, for example, and walk up to one of the group leaders, the woman would immediately, intuitively suss you out and say, you are a stranger. Are you safe? Can we trust you, and do we want to? Can you add anything to our community? She was essentially the CEO of all those valuable, very, very, very important to the community possessions. When you use that to communicate, and that is what your purpose is connection. Choosing a vocation that is essentially based on lies, when you really boil it down, is kind of counterintuitive. And so instead of saying, a lot of men will say, well, you know, women just don't have the focus to accumulate the didactic skills and execute the card sleights. They're just not interested in that because they're playing with dollies. To that, I call bunk. I disagree. I know very, very many women. I was in dentistry for a long time, and that requires a lot of didactic skills and abilities.
Right.
You have to be a sculptor in a very tiny space. So you can't tell me that women can't do it. That's ignorant and wrong. My argument, as a woman in magic and having overcome obstacles in that specific arena, my argument is I think it's counterintuitive to our communicative nature. I suffered from magician's guilt fiercely when I first started out. And what I mean by that is I would almost be apologetic in the moment that the slight occurred for the audience because I felt like I was so connected and I could totally be myself, except this one thing I have to hide from you, and I'm really sorry, but the moment is great. And it was a male magician who actually, when he was hearing me lament about that, John Carney is his name, said, have you considered, instead of looking at it as though you have this horrible thing you have to do to your audience, shift your perspective to that of one in which you are a storyteller and create yourself the role of a martyr. And he said, I will keep this heavy secret so that all of you may have this magic moment. And as soon as he put that into perspective for me and shifted the moment of duplicity, if you will, from something that was a weight I could bear for the better of the community, as opposed to something I was using to actually deceive, when he shifted why, he changed the why, my whole career changed, and it started to realign, because now I was connecting, and I was able to tell this story, and it became a greater purpose, and it became a larger mission than just this one trick. It became making you feel something. Oh, and all of a sudden, everything changed.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, I never gave that a thought that, you know, you women really are about community.
Mm-hmm. Look what you're doing here. You've assembled a team because you are a strong, powerful woman. You've assembled a team of extraordinarily inspiring, very powerful women who are very strong, and they are doing some amazing things. I was listening to an interview with Robin, and Robin's changing the world. We all are. And you have created this community where we can all support each other and learn from one another's experiences.
I never gave that a thought, but you're right on the money.
Look what you've done and look what you're doing. And that's exactly what this is. You know, usually if it was a male perspective community, it would be, hey, guys, this is what you need to know. Here's a bullet point list, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But this is so much deeper. It's about spiritual development, and it's about feeling fulfilled in addition to all that executionary stuff that has to get done, that you have to know, and accomplishing these directives and having a clear mission statement and knowing why you're doing what you're doing. Yes, you have to have all that in line, and also you can be happy. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty remarkable to juggle all of those balls and keep them in the air.
Yeah.
And that's something that women are
uniquely qualified to do. One of the questions I've got for you is, you know, when I was watching the Houdini show, it appeared that he had, you know, like he had a person that helped him actually craft the tricks with him.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a team of people that work with you with, I want to call a production team, but do you have a team that works with you?
I do. The best in the world for me. They're very good at what they do, and we have all found kindred spirits. And it is a mix of both men and women, because I do not differentiate. If you're the best at what you do, I want you. Because, like, if you were suffering and an EMT showed up at your door, you wouldn't go, I think I'm going to wait for a chick. I think it'd be more comfortable. It's more about who's great at their job and who works well with you. And so, yes, I have a team. I've got a team that does marketing. I've got a builder. I have a couple of fellas whom I will call on the phone, male and female. I've got a couple female magicians that I'll talk to, whom I will bounce ideas off of. I'll get on Skype with people who are in other areas of the arts. I know a woman who is an expert in movement and will sometimes bring things to the stage that I just hadn't even considered because she's got a Commedia dell'arte background, and she's amazing. And so I have this slew of resources. Now, we don't all get together as a team and have group meetings. It is all task focused. So these three people will work together on this task, or these two will work together on that task. And I am so blessed to be surrounded by huge positive forces for good who are not only good at what they do, but are also good for who they are. And I am surrounded by some tremendously inspiring, very talented people. Yes, is the short answer.
Well, it sounds like that is one of the secrets of success for you as well.
Oh, yeah.
Is by having that team of people around you who are good, and that I love that have a positive force in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's almost like you've gone on this trip, and so you're packing your suitcase with the things that are the most valuable to you.
Absolutely.
And you've left the garbage behind.
Yeah, and it's like, what would you take in a fire? You would take the things that would enhance your life that you want to carry into the next phase. And so I look at these folks, and these are people whom, like I said, I am blessed to be around every single day. I trust them. I value them. I admire them. I respect them. And I also respect their opinions. And so when they come to me and say things like, hey, we think that this project you're working on is ill-advised, and we're on your team, and we're here to support you, but what you might want to consider is this. These are the people whose information and advice I respect and I will take, because they know, especially if they have experience with a specific project. I was offered a TV show a little while ago.
I'm going to have you hold that thought.
Oh, great.
I'm going to come back to that.
Oh, sure.
Because I think it's a real, real important one, and mm-hmm. We're running out of time here.
Uh-oh.
So let's take a quick break now, and we come back. I want to talk more about these perfect fit opportunities, because I think this is an important lesson for all of us.
So cool.
Stay tuned. This is Deanne DeMarco at Today's Inspiring Women, and we'll be right back.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS Store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
You
You're tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women, and we have got magician Misty Lee on the line. And Misty, just before break, you started getting into how you listen to your team. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions that really brought to mind was your whole philosophy about which gigs do you accept, which ones do you reject, and how do you find those clients that are the perfect fit?
Well, the bottom line is, first of all, if you learn who you are, it will help you say no. And saying no is one of the biggest pieces of advice I can offer anyone, because a discriminating yes means that you can commit and feel fulfilled in that job. As far as our philosophy is concerned, if it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. If it isn't something that is artistically fulfilling, if it isn't something that pays a lot or at least enough where I feel it's worth the time investment, if it isn't something I'm really genuinely excited about, it's probably something I don't have time for. And if it's also something where I'm not going to be treated with respect or fulfilled as an artist, I don't have time for that. I'm busy and happy, and I like to keep things rolling in that direction. So if it's not a hell yes, it is a hell no. And it keeps things really simple and us focused on what our main directive is.
Yeah, and you made a mention just before break about your team once told you to not take a gig. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Well, they advised against it. It was something that two people on my team, the builder and one of the magicians, had very specific experience with. And I was given an opportunity several times, and I had declined a couple times, but I was genuinely considering this. This is a show that's on year after year. And I started to assemble a team and said, this is a big commitment. And, you know, are you guys on board to do this with me? And two out of six people, everybody else was like, yeah, do it. But two out of six people called me independently and said, here's what I think, and here's why I don't think it's necessarily a good match for you. And based on their experience and their knowing me and what I want out of life and what we're after as a team, I took their advice and stepped away. And I got to tell you, I have never, ever regretted saying no.
And I think that's an important piece. And so you've brought this team on board, and a number of people that have a positive force in your life. They help you in your career, and that you are willing to listen to their advice. And I think that's an important lesson for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's respect. If I didn't respect them, then why work with them? There's no point. I could just do this all alone and have the narcissistic journey. But I will tell you that opening up a collaborative environment and actually being discriminatory about who you bring in and making sure that you're bringing in people with whom you work well and who have a lot to offer, you are able to be so much more productive and, like I said, fulfilled. I've said that word so many times, but I am so happy with where we all are. And we are all such a positive force, and it's such a joy to do what we do. The money is secondary, and it just comes because it flows from passion. It's a gift. And why would I stop that flow of progress?
Yeah. You know, you're a woman of a lot of interesting firsts. You're the first female staff person at magician at Magic Castle. First and only magician, male or female, to be admitted into the Institute of Analytic Interviewing. Mm-hmm. And one of the very few magicians to create magic for the blind. I just love that.
Oh, thanks.
Just to name a few. My dad was blind when I was a child, so Braille is my first written language. So you're very unique and definitely a trailblazer. So one of the questions I just got to ask you is, how did you go about creating magic for the blind?
Well, the first thing that I thought of, and the reason it came about, I'll give you a very brief background, because he's a wonderful resource for your listeners, and he's very inspiring. Tommy Edison has a YouTube channel, Tommy Edison XP, which is the Tommy Edison Experience, and he talks every day in a very frank, blunt manner about what it is to have his disability. He's completely blind and has been since birth. And people are able to ask him questions that they may feel are silly, but he answers them very seriously. How do you know your clothes match? His answer is, I don't, but jeans go with everything. And he speaks very frankly about what it is to be blind. Someone asked him, do you like magic? And he said, I can't experience magic. And he did a whole segment on it. And I wrote his producer and said, I think he's wrong. And I started to think about effects that I've created in the Houdini room at the Magic Castle specifically for that show. And I just started going, no, I think there are some effects that involve sight, or that involve smell, that are touch based. I really think we could do some magic for Tommy. And I started doing research and I found a blind magician named Chad Allen. And I thought, who better? And so I immediately called Chad, going back to the spirit of putting together a team and collaborating with the best possible person. Who better? And Chad had years of experience as a sighted magician and then lost his sight. So Chad and I sat down and he said, what are your ideas? I said, here's my ideas. He brought his own. And we worked up some things, keeping our eyes closed, you know, keeping my eyes completely closed and Chad being blind anyway. We did a show for one another and we chose the effects that we thought were great, but they also had to work on camera because we were being filmed. And so we had a very unique challenge of finding things that worked for the sighted as well as the blind. And we came up with a list of about 16 effects, all of which we performed for Tommy that day. And then they pick and chose for a segment. At the end of the day, Tommy said, wow, I had no idea I could do this. And the most moving thing about that, and I was so glad I had reached out and that this whole thing came to be, was at the end of the day of shooting, I was walking down the stairs and I saw Tommy and Chad going through the Magic Castle, and Chad was giving Tommy a touch tour. And Chad, for the first time, was able to show another blind person his club. And as a result of our work that day, the Magic Castle, now we went and spoke about making it more accessible, ADA accessible, and making it a better experience for the deaf and the blind, because I'm also a sign language interpreter. And I said, here's some things that we could incorporate. We now have a large text Braille menu, which they had never had in the 50 years of the Magic Castle, just because we had that idea and asked for it. And there are so many things that we're now able to, of course, with the assistance of the trustees, our general manager, Joe Furlow, and all these other people who love other people and want them to experience and love magic. It is now more accessible for people with disabilities as a result of this stone starting to roll.
How cool. So where can people see you perform?
I actually perform at the Magic Castle all the time. Like you mentioned earlier, I'm one of the first I am the first on-staff Houdini Room member performer, and I'm very grateful for that. I will be in Santa Fe, New Mexico on Halloween at George R. R. Martin Theater, the Jean Cocteau down there, and I think that's my only out-of-town date. Everything else is here in Los Angeles. So if you are in Los Angeles and would like to come to our private magic club, I would love to have you be my guest. Please email me, and I will take you in. It's misty@mistylee.com.
Yeah. So you do private parties?
On and off, if the gigs are appropriate. Otherwise, as I just told you, I say no to them. Mm-hmm. And I will refer them to people who are appropriate for whatever they're asking. Sometimes it's a perfect fit. Sometimes it isn't. So judiciously is the answer to your question.
So what is a perfect fit? What is that kind of party is a good fit for you?
The kind of private party that is a good fit for me is the kind of party where I'm A, going to be able to connect with the guests on my comfort level. Mm-hmm. B, is going to be a party that is filled with guests who want to see the kind of magic and what I specifically bring to the table. I'm not a perfect fit where they're just wanting somebody to walk around and do a bunch of card magic to keep people busy while they're waiting for something else. I prefer to do stage or performance type appearances where I'm genuinely able to connect and control the environment. I don't like to walk into a lot of chaos that doesn't pay well and, you know, so things like that. It's got to be a really good fit, and personality-wise, style-wise, as well as audience-wise and what their expectations are.
Great. Now, how do people get hold of you again?
Misty@mistylee.com is my personal email. Mistylee.com is our website. And I'm also on Twitter, Misty, M-I-S-T-Y underscore Lee, L-E-E.
So it's MISTY@MistyLee.com.
It is.
And they can take you in at the Magic Castle as well.
It's kind of an ordeal because you have to get all dressed up, and it is just it's a privilege, and it's something that Hollywood has to offer that is nowhere else in the world. There are magicians walking around this Victorian mansion. It's absolutely beautiful, and it is quite a sight to behold, and it is I'm proud to call it one of my homes.
I'm going to have to check that out one of
these
days.
Come on, girl. I'd love to have you.
Well, I would like to thank you very much for being on today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you. And thank you for doing what you're doing.
Each week I end the show with a quote in action. And I'd like to end with one that from author Dorothy Brand. And she says, the Wright brothers flew through smoke and screen of impossibility. So your action for this week is to try something regardless of how difficult or impossible it seems to you. Until next time, this is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Today's Inspiring Women. Please join host Deanne DeMarco and other entrepreneurial and business leaders next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have an outstanding week.